is a misconception that you need to see the spirit realm to interact with it. On an unconscious level, you interact with it every day. When you encounter that world, you discover there are beings, names, powers, keys, territories, postures, languages, dignitaries, their laws. Every activity you do strikes a chord in time, but the activities linked to your call that strike a chord in eternity.
From the books of old and the new, the throne room of God and the divine secrets of the spirit, higher dimensions, near-death experiences, the spiritual realm, dreams and visions, plus much more. The RDM podcast explores it all and awakens you to secrets in deeper realms. And now, here's your host, Rabbi Daniel Malinga.
Hello everybody, and I'm your host, Daniel Malinga. Welcome to the fifth episode of the RDM podcast. As usual, we have a lot we want to get into. I pray that your minds are ready, your heart is set to get what the Lord has prepared for you today. Let's get it on. All right. There is a lot on my mind today. There's a lot on my mind, and it's based on what is majorly going on around the world presently. It's the year 2020. We're coming to the end of the year, but a lot has happened in this year, but not just the year. There's a lot that has happened in the past decade, and there's a lot expected to happen in the next decade. But I'm not alone in the studio. I have with me the two guys. Guys, say hi.
Hi.
Hey guys, how you doing?
And I'm going to ask them to talk more than they have ever done today. I'm going to ask them, what, according to you, what defines this age? When you look around, when you listen to the news, when you watch the television, when you walk down the streets, what are the pinpoints of this age? Things that you could say that if you were asked what defined our age, what would you say?
Okay, I think for me the first thing would be this being an information age. Information should be easily accessible, given the fact that we have things like social media and all of that. But the funny thing is, even the information that's there is not 100% correct. So that's funny in its own way. Another thing for me that stands out is the fact that we have a church that's largely docile in a time when it needs to stand up and stand out. It's largely docile, which is very, very sad.
Okay. What about you, Eric?
Thank you, Rabbi. We're in times where really knowledge has increased, and knowledge like we've never known before. And so it's almost like there is something for everything, but then it's going to take a really discerning spirit to tell, especially from the angle of the body of Christ, what is in for us and what's not for us.
Okay.
Yeah, and I also see when we look at the unification of the world from an angle of can we have the one world order, and can we have like a system that is one? Because we've had over the years, we've seen it get into places. We had the East African community. We've had all from, is it Europe, is it America, all over, you know. It's been like small bits, but now we've come to almost like the climax of it, and everything is fitting itself together to the real definition of the end times we're in.
Okay, that's interesting, because there is a lot going on in the globe at the moment. Like you've mentioned, it's an information age. Knowledge is increasing. Even though it's an information age, like you said, not all the information we have is true. Some of it is hidden. yes, knowledge is increasing, but also on some level, knowledge is declining. So there's a lot going on in the globe. It seems a disorganized world. There are wars, there are rumors of wars, there are diseases. On top of that, you have racist confrontations, I mean, with Black Lives Matter and so on and so forth. Then you have online restrictions coming up, limiting specific things. I mean, if they don't agree with your point of view, they're going to restrict you. We have national tensions, religious attacks, okay? People are growing more intolerant towards especially Christianity. And those are signs. And if you're not careful, you can be narrow-minded and the truth that you have might not be all the truth. Eh? So if you're a narrow-minded Christian, I always say this, that if the truth has not set you free, then you don't have all the truth. All right? Now, the reason why the world is at a stage that it is, I'm really setting a foundation because I'm going to discuss something that is extremely sensitive. Normally, I would not have discussed this on a pulpit because I look into people's eyes and I know when I'm losing some people and I know when they're saying, ha, is this in the Bible? But we're going to discuss some really interesting things based on the fact that we are at a very pinnacle point in history, in the age that we're in. And the question I always ask myself is this: how did we get to where we are? Why is the world as it is now? Wars, rumors of wars, online restrictions, national tensions, diseases. Why is it at the stage that it is at this point? You see, there are two agendas in the spirit realm, and I've already said this. The devil wants to take over this planet and make it his. That's his agenda. It's very clear. God's agenda is partly summarized in Revelation 11:15. If you could read that for me.
Revelation 11:15, the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven, which said, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever."
So that summarizes the agenda of the kingdom of God. All right? That the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. That is the heartbeat of the agenda of God. The devil's agenda is just the opposite, to turn the entire world into his, to make it his. Now, we go back to the question that I asked. How did we get to this point? And before I delve into that, I want to say something. There are some facts concerning the Christian faith that are immovable. For example, Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. He died for our sins and rose on the third day. There is repentance in no other name but Jesus. Christians must agree on these facts. So those facts are immovable. Once you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, it's unchangeable per se. Those facts are immovable. We don't debate over those. However, there are other interesting points in the Bible that are just that. They're interesting. They're fascinating. Our salvation does not hinge on them. Okay? On those we can disagree and debate and enjoy digging out the biblical information, but we do not have to agree. Okay? We instead consider what the Bible is telling us and the meaning it has for our lives. Now, the reason why I'm setting that is because where I'm going, there are people who are going to disagree with me. And there are people who will agree with me. But either way, Christ is Lord. All right. I would like to say this, that you can be born again, but be oblivious of what's going on. So you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but you have no clue of what's going on around you. So yes, you're going to go to heaven. But you have no clue about the seasons of God. Now, let me explain this. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, I didn't give you the scripture, but he says this, let us walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the times, for the days are evil. Okay? You can be born again and walk as a fool. Very, very important, because there are many Christians like that. And the reason is because they fail to perceive season. Now, let me explain something. I meet a lot of Christians who can quote scriptures. You can quote as many scriptures as you want. It's a good thing to have the Bible in your heart. But if you do not know the seasons of God, it's like putting on clothes and going outside without checking the weather. That's what quoting scriptures is like, absent of knowing the seasons. So the reason I'm saying this is because I want to talk about the season that we're in. And I said I want to delve into this stuff. Eh? I remember the first time we met before we started this podcast, we had an interesting discussion about frontiers. Do you remember that when I was talking about the different frontiers?
Yeah.
And I explained that the first frontier that men have attempted to explore, they called it the first frontier, was the land. Through history, men like Columbus braved the unknown and they went to discover new worlds. All right? Africa was once referred to as a dark continent, partly because so little was known about it. So men went to explore. Explorers were sent to Africa to try to discover and know more about the land. And so different continents were discovered over time. And in the perception of men, the first frontier has been fully explored. That's the perception of men. But that perception can't be right because just 2019, 71 new species were discovered. Just think about it. We've been on this earth, it's the year 2020. They're discovering 71 new species. Fish, geckos, plants. In 2018, they discovered more than 100 new species of plants. Imagine we live on the land, but we're still discovering new things about it. That was the first frontier. Okay? The second frontier was what they referred to as the water. Okay? Water is the second frontier. Men set out to try to explore the waters because they thought in their mind they had concluded the exploration of land. All right? But 95% of the waters are unexplored. We've only explored 5%. Are you with me? Down there are species that are unknown. Down there are things. It's a very dark world in these water bodies that we have all over the world. Unexplored, but they call it the second frontier. The third frontier was space. They called it the third and the final frontier. I found this very interesting. Okay? In 1977, you know, I love this. If in another life, I probably would have been either an astronomer or a historian or an archaeologist in another life. Eh? But I spend a lot of time studying this stuff. And years ago, as I gained interest in space and space exploration, in 1977, I discovered 1977, they sent out two space probes. A probe is in essence a machine that they send out into outer space to try to explore space on behalf of man. And what it does is that as it travels all over space, it sends back pictures so that we can know what our universe and our solar system looks like. 1977, they sent out Voyager 1, the first probe, and Voyager 2. Up to this very day, Voyager 1 and 2 are traveling all over space, sending back pictures of what, you know, our solar system and the universe looks like. Okay? But yet still, space is so large that I think we know partly about 1%, less than 1% of what is out there. Okay? So they call that the final frontier, but they were very wrong. Now let me explain this. There are other frontiers, and those frontiers are what I want to hinge on today. There is the spirit realm. The spirit realm is another frontier. Very few have wandered into. It's more vast than space. Okay? More vast than these unknown waters. History is a frontier. There's a lot about our history that we do not know. A lot about the history that we know that is incomplete. And a lot about the history that we know that is not actually true history. You know, there's a saying out there that the man who writes the book is the one who determines what history was. In other words, yeah? Another saying goes like this, that history is written by the victors. Huh? So we don't really know the fullness of history. History is another frontier. Then the future is also another frontier. And I'm going to be hinting on this. I don't think we're going to have enough time to go into all of them, but I'm going to be hinting of this as we go on. So the three major frontiers that I want to touch: the spirit realm, history, and the future. Now let's touch this. Eh? I want us to go as far back as we can. As far back as we can. Not just to the origin of man, but go farther. Backwards. Not just the creation of the earth, but go farther. Backwards. That's what I want to do. Eh? So, first I would like to look at the fact that, let's go back to where man began, and possibly even farther back than that. The earth, as we know it, has four phases. Four phases. There are four phases of the earth. Three of the earth's phases, three of the four, have already gone, have already passed. We've already gone through them. One is yet to come. The first phase was Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Read it for me.
Genesis 1, 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
That was the first phase of the earth. God created the heavens and the earth. The second phase is implied in Genesis 1, verse 2 to 3. It says, the earth was desolate and formless. Huh? Darkness was over the face of the deep. And then the verse 3 says, the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. That is the second phase of the earth. The reason why it's the second phase now, I have to explain this. Remember when I was teaching on Genesis chapter 2 and 3 in our podcast on Eden, I explained that I don't want to touch Genesis chapter 1 because that one will take us a whole day. And I find Genesis chapter 1 very intriguing. Because Genesis chapter 1, unlike every other verse in the Bible, every other chapter in the Bible, sorry, every verse in Genesis chapter 1 is a different time period. People read Genesis chapter 1 and God said, let the waters produce land and so on, and they think all this was happening at the same time. Every single verse, from verse 1 all the way to the last verse in Genesis chapter 1, are different time periods. So Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's one time period. We don't know how long it took before the next time period took place. The earth was desolate and formless. You're getting me? All right? Then we don't know how long it took before the next verse, the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the waters. Then the next verse and the next verse and the next verse. They're different time periods. The second phase, from verse 2 to verse 3, the second phase of the earth is the phase in which Adam was created into. So when he's put into the Garden of Eden, that is the earth in phase 2. Because phase 1, read for me Isaiah chapter 45 verse 18. I know that, now I want to say this, that there are people listening to me who probably know where I'm going with this and have heard this before. I'm going to ask you to be very patient with me, because I'm also aware there are people who do not know what I'm talking about. So read it to me.
Isaiah 45, 18.
Mm.
For this is what the Lord says, he who created the heavens, he is God.
Mm.
He who fashioned and made the earth, he founded it.
Mm.
He did not create it to be empty, but formed it to be inhabited. He says, I am the Lord, and there is no other.
Okay. So notice that scripture says he did not create it to be empty. He created it to be inhabited. And yet when we see in verse 2, it is void, empty. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So that means if that scripture is true in Isaiah, that means verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. There must have been an earth that he created that was perfect. And something happened between verse 1 and verse 2 that theologians call the gap theory, that made the earth what it is in verse 2. You with me? Because Isaiah 45:18 says that he did not create it to be empty. He created it to be inhabited. Now, Adam is put onto the earth in phase 2. What we see in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2 onwards is a recreation account, not a creation account. You with me? Why is it a recreation account? The reason it's a recreation account is because later God tells man, go and replenish the earth. He doesn't say plenish. You're with me? Okay? Now, I really don't want to spend a lot of time on that, but I have to explain. So, the second phase of the earth was when Adam was put in the Garden of Eden. There was a recreation of the earth. Okay? The third phase was when Adam fell. When Adam fell, everything began to die. That phase, we are in it now. The world and everything in it has been decaying from the time Adam fell until now. Okay? The decay has increased over time. That is the third phase. There is a fourth phase that is coming. The Bible says, and God shall create a new heaven and a new earth. So you with me? The earth has four phases. Three have occurred. There is one more to go. Now, this is interesting because every phase has had civilizations. And we're going to use the Bible to explain this. And this, please understand that what I'm sharing now is very much relevant to the season that we're in. Every phase that I've mentioned has had civilizations that dominate that era. Let me define a civilization for you. I got a chance to go to a dictionary, so let me define it. A civilization is a society made of cities, cultures, technologies, languages, and forms of government. I'll say that again. A civilization is a society made of cities, cultures, technologies, languages, and forms of government. So, every phase has had a civilization. Now, let me explain. There are different kinds of civilizations. There is a modern civilization, the one that we have today. Okay? I saw a definition somewhere that said a modern civilization is a civilization that determines its information based on science rather than spirit. I couldn't believe I had read that on Google. But anyway, it quite defines our modern civilization. So this is a modern civilization, the one that we're in. There are ancient civilizations. These existed. Ancient civilizations are civilizations that existed but faded and were replaced by modern civilization. Okay? Let me give you an example. Ancient Rome. Ancient Greece, ancient Egypt, those were ancient civilizations that as time went on, they faded and were replaced by modern civilization. And their proof is seen in that certain aspects of the ancient civilization still exist in the modern civilization. Okay? So democracy came from ancient Greece. Okay? You're with me? And then parts of ancient Rome and so on and so forth. So there are parts of the ancient civilization that still exist in modern civilization. I'll say it again. An ancient civilization is a civilization that faded and was replaced by a modern one. Then there are mystical or lost civilizations. The Mayans. You've heard of the Mayans? The Mayan civilization. You had in the year 2012 when everyone thought the world was going to be going to come to an end. It was based a lot on the Mayan calendar. The Mayan civilization was a civilization that existed more than 2,000 years ago. Farther, perhaps. A Mayan civilization is mystical, just like the Sumerians. There's a Sumerian civilization, Aztec civilization, the Incas. These are all mystical civilizations. We call them mystical, number one, because they existed on earth. There's proof of them. But each and every one of them, a number of them, just disappeared off the face of the earth. Unlike ancient civilizations that faded, these are lost. In Uganda, we have the Bachwezi, who just out of the blue disappeared. So there are lost civilizations and a mystical. All these civilizations that were lost had some kind of technology that even today we cannot seem to compete with. The Mayans were able to study the moon, the stars, and be able to predict things in the future just using astrology. All over ancient Egypt, all over the, amongst the Incas, the Aztecs, they found technology from the past. I mean, they found evidence that there must have been technology in the past, because there are buildings that are built in an impossible manner. If you just go to Egypt, no one knows how those pyramids were made. Do you know that the technology we have today cannot replicate the building of the pyramids? Okay? So, these are mystical and lost civilizations. I'm getting somewhere with this. There are underwater civilizations. You've heard of the tale of Atlantis? Okay? Recently, I read a few years ago, they found a city off the coast of Japan, a submerged city, an entire city with roads, statues, and everything. Just off the coast of Japan. You can go and Google this. Okay? And all over water bodies, all over the world, they have found cities underwater, submerged. There were underwater cities. I was back when, a few years ago, when I was doing extensive research on this, because I've taken some while without doing so. But when I was doing extensive research on this, I found that in Ghana, for example, I'm just giving one example. In Ghana, they believe in what is referred to as the Mami Wata people. Mami is spelled M-A-M-I, then Wata, W-A-T-A, the Mami Wata people. And amongst many stories, there's a story, legitimate by the way, of a lady a few years back who disappeared and then reappeared 3 years later. Her family members, when she came back, you know, she came back smiling, what? Like everything is okay. When her family members asked her where she had been, she said she had been taken by the Mami Wata people, underwater people. Okay? She had spent 3 years there, underwater. What was she doing underwater? She said that they took her to use her as a source of production to produce babies. Now, for many people, this sounds like total nonsense, eh? But I'm telling you where we're heading to as we go on with this sharing. I hope we'll be able to touch everything I want. But where we're heading to, I'm going to show you that actually this stuff is real and it's biblical. Okay? So, this lady was taken, and there are different groups of people all over the world that believe in a certain section of people that, you know, live under the water. So they are underwater civilizations. The tale of Atlantis, by the way, in my studies in the past, is actually referring to a city that was submerged. It used to be on land. It was submerged. It could have possibly, according to Plato, by the way, I don't think you need this information anyway. Atlantis is believed to have been between the continents of, you know the Atlantic Ocean? You have North America and South America on one side. Then you have Europe, Africa, and the others on the other side. And in between is the Atlantic Ocean. There is a continent missing there. In the middle. And believe that continent is believed to be Atlantis. Now, I really don't want to go into all this, but it's older than Adam. Oh, God. I told you at the beginning, we don't have to agree. Okay? So, there are underwater civilizations. There are spirit civilizations. Angels have kinds. Demons have civilizations. As you know, there are categories of angels. Seraphims, cherubims, and so on and so forth. There are other kinds of angels that men have not encountered. Most men. And those who have encountered, because people always say, where is it in the Bible? They just say, just leave it to them. Eh? But I can assure you, there are more kinds than you and I know from biblical perspective. Okay? Then there's a demonic civilization. There are categories of fallen angels. Categories. There are And we're going to touch this. There are angels, there are demonic beings that arose from a civilization before Adam. And I'm going to share it. There are demonic beings that fell with the devil. There are demonic beings that came down in Genesis 6 and had intercourse with the daughters of men. All these are categories. There are demonic beings. Read for me Revelations chapter 9, verse 13 to 15.
Revelations 9, 13 to 15. The sixth angel sounded his trumpet, and I heard a voice coming from the four horns of the golden altar that is before God. It said to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. 15. And the four angels who had been kept ready for this very hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind.
Okay, so Revelation 9 tells us that there are four beings under the river Euphrates at this very moment, chained. Four. These beings are not the same as those. Now read for me Jude 6.
Jude 6. And the angels who did not keep their positions of authority but abandoned their proper dwelling, these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day.
Okay, then 2 Peter 2:4.
2 Peter 2:4. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them in chains of darkness to be held for judgment.
Okay, now what Peter and Jude are talking about there are not the same beings in Revelation chapter 9. What Peter and Jude are talking about are beings that the beings that came down during the time of Genesis chapter 6, okay? And the book of Enoch, which I believe is a genuine book, says there were 200, not four. Okay? 200 chaps come down, seduce women, and have intercourse with them, then giants are birthed. All right? Here in Revelation chapter 9, there are four chaps. Four. And there's nowhere in the Bible, nowhere in the Bible, that can tell you at what point in time those guys were chained. And my conclusion is, this event must have occurred before Adam. Okay? Those chaps did something. Now, scripture says that they've been kept down there, and they're going to be released at a particular day and time, and they will kill a third of the human population at the time. I want you to pay very close attention to me as I say this. Lucifer is not the most powerful demonic being. There are demons that are more powerful than him. The reason why he is in charge is because he's the most cunning. He's wise. He's the author of confusion. Okay? But just these four have been chained because they can cause more destruction in one go if they're released than any other demon that is currently on earth. Just these four. So, there are beings out there, fallen beings that are more powerful than the ones that are currently running the earth. Are you with me? You're with me so far? Okay. So, we're getting somewhere. So I said there are spiritual civilizations. Within the spiritual civilization, there is the pre-Adamic civilization, which I'm going to touch briefly. Then a Genesis 6 civilization. Alright? Now, let's go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Read it again.
Genesis 1, 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Okay? Now, read for me Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 23 to 28.
Jeremiah 4, 23 to 28. I looked at the earth, and it was formless and empty.
Okay, does that sound familiar? Okay, go on.
And at the heavens, and their light was gone.
Sound familiar? There was darkness.
Yeah.
Go on.
24. And I looked at the mountains, and they were quaking.
All right.
All the hills were swaying. verse 25. I looked and there were no people.
Okay. Sound familiar? Mm-hmm. There were no people. Go on.
Every bird in the sky had flown away.
What kind of birds are those? Huh? In a place where there are no people. And I'd like to point this out, that there is no time in the future where there will be a place where there are no people. And there's no time in the present biblical history that we can look at where there was a time where there are no people. This is referring to a time before Adam. Go on.
Verse 26. I looked and the fruitful land was a desert.
Uh-huh.
All its towns lay in ruins before the Lord.
Notice towns? Okay, go on.
Before his fierce anger. Verse 27. This is what the Lord says. The whole land will be ruined, though I will not destroy it completely.
Mm.
28. Therefore, the earth will mourn and the heavens above grow dark, because I have spoken and will not relent. I have decided and will not turn back.
Okay, that's given us some semblance of what was. So, there were no people, right? But there were towns. There were cities. In the pre-Adamic civilization, like I told you, it's a civilization because there were beings, but those beings are not people. We're going to get somewhere. There were cities, there was a language, there was a technology, there was a form of government. My very definition of civilization. Okay? Now, Job 38, verse 8 to 11.
Job 38, 8 to 11. Who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? Verse 9. When I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness? Verse 10. When I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place? Verse 11. When I said, this far you may come and no farther, here is where your proud waves halt.
So God is describing a certain moment in time when he did something. Okay? That is elaborated further. Read verse 25 to 30.
Verse 25 to 30. Who cuts a channel for the torrents of rain and a path for the thunderstorm? Verse 26, to water a land where no one lives, an uninhabited desert. 27, to satisfy a desolate wasteland and make it sprout with grass.
Mm-hmm.
28, does the rain have a father? Who fathers the drops of dew? 29, from whose womb comes the ice? Who gives birth to the frost from the heavens? 30, when the waters become hard as stone, when the surface of the deep is frozen.
Okay. Now that last verse is very important because the entire time Job is talking about something, then he says, where the surface of the deep is frozen. And scripture says, and the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the waters. It says, darkness was over the deep. Okay? I wish I had time for this. I would show you that there was a point before Adam where the earth was frozen. Actually, from a historical perspective, even if you use archaeology or science, science says there was an ice age. You're getting what I'm saying? And the Bible actually does back that up. Now, what actually happened was there was a judgment that God brought upon inhabitants at that time. Now, someone was asking me, what were those inhabitants? They weren't humans because we're the first ones. We have the Spirit of God. I like to call them humanoids. There were sorts of beings. There's something, there's an evil that they did. The Bible is not clear what exactly they did. But it brought down judgment from God. When it brought down judgment from God, the earth became desolate and frozen. It became formless. Okay? The water that the Spirit of the Lord is hovering over is frozen water. It's ice. That's why places like Antarctica, by the way, is a continent of its own. Right now, they're finding different types of animals and creatures, mammoths, that they say are 10,000 years, minimum 10,000 years old. And yet there are people out there arguing from a biblical perspective that the earth is 6,000 years old. It can't be 6,000 years old. The reason it can't be 6,000 years old is, first of all, we have to agree with evidence. That's one. But number two, and I've said this to you before, time only starts counting the moment Adam sins. We don't know how long Adam was in that garden before he sinned. So time starts counting, and the 6,000 years start from Adam sinning. So the earth is definitely much older than that. And so all these creatures that they're finding frozen in ice is because they were present at a time when judgment came. All these dinosaurs existed in a pre-Adamic age. All right? All of them, all these skeletons that you're... Now let me explain something. I have so much in my head, I don't know what to... all this, I'm trying to get to somewhere, but I'm getting there slowly. I'm not getting there as fast as I want to. You see, these beings that existed on earth at that time, this was their place. And I don't want to go into how Lucifer was an archangel in charge of the planet earth. It's in scripture. You find it Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14 from verse 12 onwards. And he tried to make himself a god, and he was brought down onto earth. Jesus said in the book of Luke, I saw Lucifer fall like lightning from the sky. Okay? He's referring. Now, as his 70 disciples are going out to preach, he sees a vision of Lucifer falling. He's looking back into the past, not into the future. All right? Now, the beings at that time, there's something they did that rose God's anger and brought judgment on the earth. You're with me? According to scripture, in Genesis 15 verse 16, I haven't given it to you, it says that God brought judgment upon certain cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, right? Because the iniquity of the Amorites, the cup of iniquity had got full. Now what that means is that someone has sinned so much until sin reaches the brim of God's, what God refers to as a cup. That's when judgment comes. That's how judgment comes from God. Total judgment. So these guys must have sinned to the extent that they drain God's mercy. And judgment comes down. It's true about Sodom and Gomorrah. It's also true about the judgment that is coming at the end of the age. We are yet to see true wickedness. Wickedness is piling on until its cup is full. Then judgment will come. Now, I was explaining to someone that just like if you got out of your body, you look exactly like yourself. Your spirit got out of your body, you'd look exactly at yourself. Many of these spirits that people see, that has like monkeys and so on and so forth, this civilization, this pre-Adamic civilization that was destroyed, all those beings became spirits, demons. Their spirits replicate what they looked like physically. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, you see like a demon like a monkey, it must have looked like that in the physical. Now I'm talking about those demons that came as a result of the pre-Adamic civilization. Alright? That's why when they are finding skeletons, they find skeletons and name them Homo erectus, and so on and so forth. Because, and then they conclude that man must have originated from an ape. The bones that you're finding are from an age of humanoids. You're getting what I'm saying? Now, these spirits roamed the earth, and they were still very much on earth when Adam was created. That's why I believe the Garden of Eden was a sanctuary of sorts. Like I've taught in Eden, the podcast, it was a trial place where Adam was supposed to pass out what is taught in the garden to the rest of the earth. And so, that's why God, in Genesis 1, after creating man, gives an instruction. He says, go and subdue the earth. You with me? Let me give you the definition of the word subdue. It means to overcome, to quieten, to bring under control. Now, my question to you is, if Adam is the only one on earth, what is he quietening? What is he overcoming? And what is he bringing under control? What is he subduing? Because he says, dominate the animals, the birds of the air. That's dominating. Subduing is a different word altogether. I'm telling you that the Garden of Eden, when Adam was put in there, the rest of the earth was crawling with these spirits of these chaps. And as it was crawling with these spirits of these chaps, what Adam was supposed to do as a son of God was go and subdue. Now we're not even in the parts that I think are very, very controversial. I'm already sounding controversial. But it's okay, we don't have to agree. Psalms 104, verse 5 to 8.
Psalm 104, 1 to 8. Praise the Lord, my soul. Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. Verse 2. The Lord wraps himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent. Verse 3. And lays the beams of his upper chambers on their waters. He makes the clouds his chariot and rides on the wings of the wind. 4. He makes winds his messengers, flames of fire his servants. 5. He set the earth on its foundations. It can never be moved. 6. You covered it with the watery depth as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains.
Now notice, it's saying that the waters stood above the mountains. Go on.
7. But at your rebuke the waters fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took to flight.
Okay, so God rebukes the waters. This is not the flood of Noah. Because the flood of Noah, the waters receded. It took 40 days. Here, he rebukes waters. And that's why there's waters. What we see, the spirit hovering over, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, is a flood that occurred. And I told you that flood was ice. So God released water's judgment and then froze everything. Now, let me explain something. All these planets that we see, we have 9 planets in our solar system. You start from Mercury, go all the way up to Pluto. Okay? 5, there are 9 planets. The other 8, apart from Earth, look desolate and formless. Yeah? Actually, if you try to go, right now, if you try to go, say, to Jupiter, Jupiter is pure sulfur. Pure sulfur. It's inhabitable. It's you can't live there. Okay? If you go to Mars, just the gases alone can kill a man. Alright? Now, let me explain something. I believe, because everything that God creates is perfect, those planets could not have been created like that. In Genesis 1, when it says God created the heavens and the earth, the heavens there include first, second, and third, including the planets. Those planets were beautiful. In the pre-Adamic civilization, they had inhabitants. Something happened. We don't know what it is. And I won't pretend to put it in, to squeeze in what I think happened, unless I've had an experience of it. But something happened that caused all the 9 planets in our solar system to become desolate and formless. In verse 2, God now focuses on the earth. He says, the earth was desolate and formless. Then he reshapes it. It's the only one that is recreated. The rest remain in their state. The state that we can see now. You get what I'm saying? Okay? And so he says, he rebuked the waters. They were above the mountain. He rebuked them. They went back down. All right? Then he began afresh. Now, in Genesis 1, it says that when God created, notice water wasn't created. And yet it must have been created. We don't see water being created because it already existed in a previous world. Then he says, let the waters, let land come out of the waters. It was down under. Huh? And then the Bible says he separated the land from the waters. That means, even scientifically, for those who study some geography, the land was one landmass. And the waters were one water mass. In Genesis 10, 25, did I give it to you? Genesis 10, 25, the Bible talks about a guy called Eber. Huh? Genesis 10, 25, it talks about a guy called Eber. I'm going to read it, because I think it's important. The scripture has just come to me. It says, and unto Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in his day was the earth divided. And his brother's name was Joktah. Now it says, a man called Eber. Eber is where we get the word Hebrew from. Huh? Eber gave birth to a son, his name was Peleg. And it says in his day, Peleg means division, the earth was divided. In his day, the earth was divided into the continents that we see. Because there were one landmass the entire time until this particular point. The earth was one landmass. Something happens to separate the earth into the continents that we see. That's why they're like jigsaw puzzles. They can fit in one to another. You with me? Now, in his day, the earth was divided. Now, later we go, this is Genesis 10:25. Later, when you go to Genesis chapter 11, it talks about the Tower of Babel. Now, I finally reached where I want to reach. Because I really wanted to go through that. Because I felt like probably there are people out there who have done their study on this. And what I wanted to get to is this. From Adam's creation, from the time Adam was created, there was only one system operating, the system of God. The moment Adam sinned and was cast out of the Garden of Eden, a new system evolved. That system is what we call cosmos. Cosmos means a people and a system of thinking. It came into existence the moment Adam sinned. Now, we're talking about civilizations here. When Adam sinned, the Bible says that in Genesis chapter 3 verse 15, you have it? Genesis 3:15 says, I will put enmity between you and the woman's seed. You have it?
Genesis 3:15. And I'll put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel.
Okay. Very, very important. It says, I'll put enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. This is where all this chaos is coming from, and this is where you need to understand that this is probably the strangest and most ambiguous part of scripture to me, because there's a lot in there that is left unsaid. What is the seed of a woman? What is the seed of the serpent? From an allegorical point, the seed of the woman is Christ, and the seed of the serpent is the Antichrist. You with me? Now, I have so much to say here. I have to be as clear as I can. There is something strange about Cain. Because you see, when I was reading through scripture, I was shocked to see that in Genesis chapter 5, verse 1, it says, and these are the generations of Adam. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made him. Male and female created he them. Then verse 3 says, Then it says, and blessed them and called their name Adam. Huh? He called their name, man and woman. He called them Adam, their name. Then he says, in the day when they were created. Then he says, Adam lived 130 years and begat a son. His son was called Seth. Remember, it starts by saying, this is the book of the generations of Adam. And starts with Seth. We know that Adam and Eve had two sons, Cain and Abel. Cain killed Abel. We know that. According to Genesis chapter 4, verse 16, take me there. Genesis 4, 16 should be there.
Genesis 4, 16 to 19. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. 17. Cain made love to his wife, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Enoch.
Okay, go on.
Cain was then building a city, and he named it after his son Enoch.
Okay, first stop there, because we're going to read the next verse. So Cain leaves the Garden of Eden, goes towards the land of Nod. First of all, the land was already named. Huh? There must have been a time frame that we don't understand. Adam and Eve couldn't have just had two sons. You understand? Because who did Cain marry? You get what I'm saying? There's a time frame there. It's very ambiguous. There's a lot that needs to be filled in there. But here's the interesting thing. So Cain goes. He goes and he goes to a land called Nod. And he starts a city. He has a son called Enoch. Enoch means teach. He starts a city. And the city is called Enoch. Meaning teaching. Teach. Remember, I told you that from the time Adam fell, a new system called cosmos came into existence. John, the apostle, talks about it a lot in his book. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And he says he came into the world, cosmos, but the cosmos did not receive him. Huh? And he said, you have overcome the world, cosmos. You understand? John talks about the cosmos. He has the biggest revelation about this thing, about the systems, the world systems that were set in place. These world systems that are established today started from Cain. Cain went, started a city. He named that city Teaching. What was he teaching? Are you getting me?
Yes.
Now, there are, from that time onwards, two separate seeds. There's a channel of Cain and that of Seth, which is the righteous seed. And if you notice, read on.
Genesis 4:18. To Enoch was born Irad, and Irad was the father of Mehujael, and Mehujael was the father of Methushael, and Methushael was the father of Lamech. 19. Lamech married two women, one named Ada and the other Zillah.
Okay, so he marries two women. Now I want you to understand, remember when I said that away from Adam, when Cain left, there was something that was working in Cain. And I really have to tiptoe around this. Because Cain in scripture, first of all, like I've shown you in Genesis 5, it says these are the generations of Adam, and they miss out Cain, almost like he's not a son. Guys, almost like he's not a son. Later in 1 John chapter 3, you have it? 1 John chapter 3, verse 12. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 12, John says something.
1 John 3, 12. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother.
Cain belonged to who?
The evil one.
I'm trying to put a number of scriptures together here. Cain belonged to the evil one. God doesn't even own him. Now, John chapter 8 verse 44 says, Jesus is rebuking the Pharisees. He says, you are the children of your father, the devil, who was a murderer and a liar from the very beginning. Now, at what point was the devil a murderer? Huh? And this is why, as many, because I've said it and I've said this so many times in some of my past ministrations, and I've emphasized it. It's just because after last Tuesday, I was given a go-ahead to just release this, that I've always been shouting that there are people on this earth who are not human. There are people who walk amongst us, and if you have spiritual eyes, okay, let me leave that. There are people on this earth who are not human, and they trace themselves all the way back from Cain. But the confusion here is, we know Eve gave birth to Cain. So what exactly was Cain if his seed is corrupt? Because you see, the scripture we just read, I told you, that from Cain onwards, it took just four generations. Huh? Cain begat Enoch, a son called Enoch. Enoch, and so on and so forth, until they reached Lamech. And then it says Lamech in his day had two sons. Had two wives, sorry. There was a pattern that God set in the garden. He gave Eve how many wives? I mean, he gave Adam how many wives? One. Right? With Cain, all of a sudden, just takes four generations for someone to start his own thing. Are you with me? And from that time, evil has been piling on, but perpetrated by one particular lineage. And there are people in that lineage who are pure blood. They're not, the blood has not been interfered with. And I'll teach it one day when I teach on bloodlines. Because there are people who emphasize who their children should marry. Because it's not just ethnical. It's not about ethnicity. It's about preserving a particular bloodline. Especially specific royals. You with me? Now, gosh, read for me Matthew 13:24-30.
Matthew 13:24-30. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. 25. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. 26. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. 27. The owner's servants came to him and said, Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from? 28. An enemy did this, he replied. The servants asked him, Do you want us to go and pull them up? 29. No, he answered, because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. 30. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, First, collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then, gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.
Okay. To you, what does that parable mean? What do you think it means? Give me a brief summary. What is it talking about?
I see two seeds.
You're saying two seeds, eh?
Yeah.
Now, later Jesus actually explains the parable. Go to verse 37.
Matthew 13:37. He answered, The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man.
Okay, so the one who sows the good seed is Jesus.
Verse 38. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom.
The people of the kingdom.
The weeds are the people of the evil one.
The people of the evil one.
Matthew 13:39. And the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. And the harvesters are angels.
Go on.
Verse 40, Matthew 13. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age.
Okay. Is it done? So now,
41, and the Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. 42, they will throw them into the blazing furnace. where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Okay. Now, in the original parable, now Jesus explains it. He says, he's not talking about the word. Some people talk about sowing the word and so on. No, he's specific. He says the seed are the children. Another version says the children of the kingdom. Then the other one says the children of the evil one. He distinguishes them. In the parable, the angels say, shall we pull them out? Then he says, they look so similar that it's hard to tell one from the other. You might pull out the wheat. He says, let them grow together until the day of judgment. There are people walking with us that look human. Let me tell you, they look human, and it's not just, please understand, it's not, when the Bible is referring to children of the devil, it is not referring to just a human being who's doing evil stuff. No. These are people who were birthed. They are seed. There's something in them that God can't reach. Their destinies, they've already decided them. Their end. That's why, if you look through scripture, when the Antichrist comes, first of all, the Bible says, and every man will have to stand before the judgment throne. Every man. And give account for what they did. But in the book of Revelation, the Antichrist and the false prophet don't stand before the throne. They are thrown directly into the lake of fire. That means they aren't human. Okay. The Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the last days. Now, there are many things that will happen. Men were eating and drinking. That's one. Okay? Secondly, there were giants in those days. Okay? There was an intermingling of seed. The sons of God had intercourse with the daughters of men and gave birth to giants. Are you with me? And there must be a replica of the same thing in this age. Are you with me?
Yeah.
There are chaps on this earth who control the cosmos, the systems. That's why Jesus, when he said, go ye into all the cosmos and preach the gospel. The cosmos is the people and the system. We change people and we influence systems. Many people are just focusing on salvation, saving people. There are systems that need to be redeemed. Simple. To the world, it's called the fashion industry. To the Christian, it's a fashion ministry. To the world, it's a business industry. To the Christian, it's a business ministry. We're trying to redeem back what has been lost. This cosmos system was started by Cain when he started that city, but it was established at the Tower of Babel through Nimrod, who himself is a seed of Satan. I'm telling you the history that we know. There are a lot of things on this earth. That's why, if you look back, a lot of cultures all over the earth emphasize hybrids. Werewolves, vampires. These things are not just coming out of nowhere. There's a lot of truth amidst the conspiracy. A lot of it. Now, this is why I'm bringing this up, because I have to really summarize this. There are a lot I could say this, but we live in a world where the scientist is the prophet. Everything he says, the world goes with. Okay? We live in a world by systems, the cosmos is determined, like I said, by systems. Systems have laws. These people who are in specific governing places all over the earth, they determine, they've set up a system that is conducive to ensure that they hand over this kingdom to their father, the devil. Alright? Now let me tell you something. Like I've said before in past podcasts, there's a scripture that says, darkness covers the earth and gross darkness the people. But it says it shall not rise upon you. There is a darkness, a canopy of darkness covering this earth. But there are pockets of light that are the children of God. And the most interesting thing is this. The church is the light of the world, but it is primarily asleep. But even in its sleeping state, it is a restraining force of darkness. Imagine if it woke up. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's why the Bible says, arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is now on you. The Bible says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. It's referring to the church. A sleeping church is a restraining force for all these elements of darkness. Let me tell you something. All these individuals actually believe that they are going to win. They actually believe it. They actually believe that in the end, the devil, Lucifer, wins. And let me tell you something. They have been deceived like many, many people in history have by Lucifer. Because you see, the thing says in Scripture, there's something interesting it says in Scripture. It says, I believe in Isaiah or Ezekiel, it says that many shall look at him and say, is this the one that caused the earth to tremble? Because he has made himself appear like he's the all-knowing, the all-powerful one. But people are going to get shocked. Now, if you and I, as believers, are going to get shocked, imagine the people who have believed him as the chief ruler. Imagine. Now, here's the thing. The cosmos, these guys have put themselves in strategic places. They've owned the minerals. They've owned the information, the media. The Bible says the devil is the prince of the power of the air. Huh? Meaning media. They've owned strategic places. And it's our job to go into the systems and win them back. It's not enough just to preach gospel. Now, let me tell you this, as I wind up. If you don't know the message of the kingdom, your knowledge of your purpose is almost irrelevant. If you don't understand your role in the kingdom, and you must understand your role in the kingdom, it's not just to go around saying, oh, Jesus loves you. Yes, he does. But we're in warfare here. You are the light of the world. The ministry that you're called to is to win a system back. Now, most of these things, most of these systems, they have a language. Secrecy is a language that most of this dark world uses. They use numerology. There's a language called gematria. There's a system called, I don't want to go into this, but gematria simply means that it's the study of hidden meanings in the Bible. And I don't want to go into that. But they use numerology. Some of these guys use numerology. They use signs and symbols to communicate with each other. All right? Specific people die on specific dates so that people can know. The people in their kingdom can know that they're the ones who have done it. All right? They use symbols during shows and so on and so forth to show that they're the ones in charge. Are you with me? There's a, I don't have it here. Perhaps another time I'll prove it. There's a young lady a few years ago who did a research on a genetical research on world leaders and found that a number of them are genetically connected. She found that there was a link between President Obama, I'm giving you an example, and this is a real example, between President Obama and the royal family of England. A genetic connection that they all have a similar descendant. And not just him. Russian leaders, people who are heads of companies. I didn't think about bringing it. But these guys all have genetic connections. And you think they're just getting into power? Just like that. Let me tell you something, child of God. Here's the reason why. Knowing who's in charge and who God has put in charge is important. As a Christian, you don't vote individuals. You vote agendas. This stuff, oh, Biden is kind, the other guy is rude. What is Biden's agenda? When you stand before God, you shall have to give an account as to why you, and I'm talking to some American out there, why you went and voted for a guy who's killing babies. Who's aborting babies? Who's advocating for the closing down of specific churches? Advocating for homosexuality? You don't vote nice people, you vote agendas. Are you with me? A large percentage of the church. People are going to be shocked. You stand before God and you realize you played a big role in furthering the devil's agenda. And yet day and night you were praying. Praying, but totally clueless of the season. I got annoyed when I don't even know if I should say this. We are in a season where there's a climax coming up between darkness and light. Just this year alone has been a year of many things. There's been a dark run over all the world to further the agenda of the devil. And imagine, with this season as it is, a church somewhere, their theme for the year is how to give. You just imagine. How to give. And that person says they heard from God. How to give. I'm sorry. Some of these things, when I see them, the church has a long way. Lord, wake us up. So you imagine, in this corona period, all these things that have been going on with Donald Trump, which is more than what can be seen by the eye. Every time members of a particular ministry or a church go to the church to listen to a message, they are not listening to a right now word. They're being told how to give. Oh, my sweet Jesus. This is what we're heading into. Let me summarize. There are laws. The devil has set in place laws. And those laws will become tighter for humans, for Christians and humans. Because I have to say that, because there are chaps out there who are definitely not human. And these laws have become tighter and tighter and tighter. Do you know where fibroids came from? All of a sudden in our generation, all these ladies are having fibroids. My mother the other day was saying, but I don't know where these things came from. First thing, we didn't have them. We didn't have these fibroids. It has been an attempt by the devil from the very beginning to pollute the DNA of the woman, the seed of the woman, to pollute it. And so in some lab somewhere, diseases are being formed to try to pollute the DNA. But the grace and mercy of the Lord reduces the potency of these things. And thanks God to people who can heal. They lay hands on people and people get healed. The enemy is losing a fighting battle with a sleeping church. Okay? There are things that these guys, there are laws coming out, and they're going to become much, much more obvious, especially on social media. There are laws coming out to squeeze us. And if we are not awake, because right now the highest level of the battle is the battle for nations. We're trying to redeem nations, not just individuals. That is the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of salvation wins an individual. The gospel of the kingdom disciples nations. Are you with me? If you don't think at a national level, you'll never get there. If you don't think of your call from a national perspective, if what worries you is not national in nature, you can't reach there. God can't give you the kingdoms of this world as an inheritance. He can't. There are people out there who pray on a national level. When you pray national, your dreams become national. Your call takes on a national perspective. There are laws that are being put in place. Now let me say this. You know that a law is of God, because the Bible says, in the presence of two or more witnesses, a thing is established. There are three major laws on the face of this earth. There is the law in nature, the law in the Bible, the biblical law, that's the moral law, and then the civil law, the law of the state. If any law is passed and any two of those don't agree, then that law cannot be established. It is not of God. So, homosexuality, the moral law and the natural law do not agree with it. So in the spirit, it can't be established. Even though the civil law of some state does. You're getting what I'm saying? In the presence of two or more witnesses, a thing is established. Guys, we're heading into some really, really deep things in the future here. Now, I'll close by saying this. What is your purpose? Kneel down and ask God, what is your role in this generation? Because if this is a final generation, and I believe it is, because if this Pope is the false prophet, and he is, and this Pope is like what, 79 years old, 80? Huh? You think we have 100 years when the false prophet is 79, 80? You think we have 100 years? Huh? There's a man who's alive right now who's about to get onto the stage. The Antichrist is not a full human. That's why he's referred to as a beast. Are you getting what I'm saying? Huh? What is your purpose and what is your role in this generation? The reason why they call it the final generation. Listen, when you're running a relay, you put your best runner at the beginning and the best runner at the end. That's why in the book of Acts, these guys were operating in power you can't understand. Along the way, stuff is funny. But then as we come into this last generation, there's about to be a release of power. People are going to dream dreams. People are going to be healing diseases. People are going to be commanding things and they come into existence. We are in that age and God has saved the best for last. Now by the time he brought you, Eric, into this generation, it's not just to get born again and just go and sit in your room and, Lord, I love you. We are at the very apex of a battle, my friends. Very apex of a battle. And I'm going to ask you to pray for the Lord to open up your mind on the move of seasons in your lives. Because if you don't know the season, you're going to be wasting your time on certain stuff. I have to stop there. I would have said a lot, but the Lord bless you.
Thank you for listening to the RDM podcast. Join us next time to discover more secrets, dimensions, and depth. To find out more about Rabbi Daniel Malinga Ministries, please visit www.rabbidanielmalinga.com, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram.